Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virtue Most Powerful Radio. Ruben Nava and Jesse Romero, 10-8.
Reporting for duty, sir. On duty for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruben, there's something that interests me right now. It's both of us, obviously our backgrounds in law enforcement. We understand the Second Amendment and its importance. So as citizens, that we can be able to defend ourselves. We know there's not enough law enforcement out there. And so most people want guns for home protection. But it seems to be, that Joe Biden, the new president, he wants to basically initiate the worst gun control that we've ever seen. There's a bill called H.R. 127. It's the worst gun control bill in Congress, and it will completely destroy our Second Amendment freedoms forever. There's a good website I would recommend for people to go on there. It's stophr127.com. Stophr127.com. Just fill out the petition real quick and just let your voice be heard, because these are vicious attacks on our gun rights, and they're in full swing right now in D.C. now that we have a new administration that leans hard left. And the hits are coming fast. In fact, Congressman woman Sheila Jackson has just filed this H.R. 127 bill, which is, again, it's the worst gun control bill we have ever seen. There's about seven bullets here that I'd like to share with you. Number one, it mandates the registration of all firearms and ammunition across the country. Can you imagine that? Number two, it bans 50 caliber ammo. Number three, it requires mental health exams in order to buy a gun or ammo. Number four, it bans all magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. Five, it establishes a national ammo registry so that the government knows who owns what ammo. And six, they mandate civil liability insurance for gun owners. And seven, they make you pay $800 a year to get a national license to own a firearm or ammo. This bill, Ruben, is a disaster, and it's being hammered through Congress by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and we have to push back and make sure that H.R. 127 never becomes law and never sees the light of day. So please, go to stophr127.com, stophr127.com, sign your official petition, and let's oppose this with all our energy, because, again, when you're done, another good thing that me and my wife said, you know, we're going to push back to the point where you could actually join the AFA.org, which is the American Firearms Association, or the NRA. It's time to join one of these organizations to protect our gun rights. Ruben?
That's true, Jesse. And, you know, they didn't make any... They didn't try to hide what they were going to do. They've told us that they were coming for their guns, for our guns. Kamala Harris and even Joe Biden. We knew that going in, and you know, there are some people that I know that are liberals, but they're not hard left, but they love guns too. So you know, this is going to hurt them as well. You know, they voted for these people, and you know, the liability, that's a huge one. I'm looking into getting my own already, but they want to charge us. Apparently there's also, I think in California, they want to charge us $200 per gun, and they want us, wow, to identify every gun. And this other, this H.R. 127, they want to charge you $800 a year every time you do your taxes. So, and there's another bill, Jesse, that was put out that's they're trying to pass through too. It's Sheila Jackson's 130. That would allow the police to come into your home to investigate unsecured weapons anytime.
As if the cops aren't busy enough, Ruben, with real police work.
Yeah. Anytime they receive an allegation that your guns are not in a gun safe or rendered inoperable via a gun lock. So somebody just has to say, you know, I know he keeps his in his nightstand. Now you're gonna have to lock your gun up with if this thing passes. And let's say a burglar gets in your house, is looking to do harm to you and your family. Yeah, you got to take the time to unlock it. I mean, if you can't get to your gun, it does you no good. So
that's true. Exactly.
Yeah. You got to have one ready. I know that I'm always prepared. I'm not going to be caught slipping, like as the crooks used to say, I got caught slipping. Yeah.
Ruben, so there's two good organizations that people want to get involved with. One is called the American Firearms Association. They're a nonprofit. I think it's AFA.org, and also, or become part of the NRA. They're also NRA, National Rifle Association, NRA.org. These are two organizations that are on the right side of this issue. Again, and even going back to our faith, as Catholics, the catechism says that Catholics have the right to self-defense. We have the right to use the proportionate force and means necessary to overcome the resistance of an aggressor, or to overcome the aggression of an aggressor. And in fact, as Catholics, there's even a patron saint of shooting. I forget his name right now, but I'll look him up in the internet. I found him years ago when I did a show on this. The Catholic Church has a patron saint of shooting, wow, by the way. Yeah.
They got a patron saint for everything, Jesse. this is just another one of the Marxists. It's part of communism. You know, you got to ban the guns. You got to get rid of people's guns so they can't defend themselves. That's what it is. It's not about us defending ourselves against the criminals. The government, and that's why it was put in the Constitution. You know, it's the Second Amendment, because the First Amendment, you know, the right to assemble, right to speech and worship, and the one right after that is having our guns to be able to protect ourselves from tyranny, and it was intended for us to protect ourselves from the government. And I mean,
Ruben, you know what's the one? Well, I read historically that all attacks on citizens historically have been done by tyrannical governments.
Yep.
The mass killing of citizens, think about communism, think about fascism, think about Nazism. All mass killing of citizens has always occurred because of tyrannical rogue governments. And so this is one of the things that the Founding Fathers understood, that there's the checks and balances when you allow the citizens to arm themselves.
Yeah, this is, they've made it hard to get ammunition. I know that, everywhere I've gone,
there's going to be a huge black market watch on this, and rightfully so, because again, people have the right to defend themselves.
Yeah.
I found him, Ruben, the patron saint of shooters, Saint Gabriel Possenti. Pray for us. Oh. Pray for us. Saint Gabriel Possenti, the patron saint of shooters. Again, the Catholic Church is not against weapons, or we wouldn't have a patron saint of shooters, by the way.
Saint Gabriel
Possenti.
Yeah, Possenti. So make sure my rounds go down and hit the target.
That's right. Ruben, I just want to mention real quick before we go on to some other topics, that the Catholic Church, every single month, we focus on a different aspect for the entire month. The month of February in the Catholic faith, and I'll mention this every day, it's devoted to the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So sometime during the month of February, consider doing a Stations of the Cross. Just go to your nearest church and do a Stations of the Cross at least one time in the month of February. And also, the month of February, another good thing, this is what I'm doing all month. I'm just going to be praying, instead of the regular rosary, I'm going to be praying the Dolor Rosary, or the Seven Sorrows of Mary Rosary. I started it yesterday. I'll be praying that all month for different intentions. And so again, or just say, I like the rosary. Then if you can, like, if you just want to do the rosary, pray for the entire month, just the sorrowful mysteries all month. Again, this is a moment to focus on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the month of February. And I'll tell you this, I mean, all the saints, like, you know, St. Gertrude the Great, St. McTeldy, St. Catherine of Siena, many giants in the Catholic faith, they say that the Catholic who meditates on our Lord's passion is very dear to our Lord. And St. Francis de Sales, he even said that meditating on the passion and death for 15 minutes a day, that's the time it takes to pray the rosary, is more powerful than fasting on bread and water every Friday for an entire year. St. Albert the Great said that.
Wow. You know, I'm doing a 33-day consecration, a Louis de Montfort consecration to Our Lady right now. So it's, you know, he's given some good examples of the rosary. You know, he's a big believer in the rosary, of course. And so I wish I had had my my book here, because there are some outstanding quotes in it from Saint Blessed Alan de Roche and you know, Saint Dominic, and those who she Our Lady appeared to Saint Dominic and gave him the rosary, you know, as we know it. And then but Saint Alan de Roche was also was told to, by our Lord, to promote his mother's
Christmas. Amen.
And when we come back, we're going to be talking about anger, things that we've seen from our first responders that having to go through a lot of trials and tribulations.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car. We are 10-8. 10-8 for Jesus, Jesse.
That's right.
You know, Jesse, we've got an article that we're going to talk about that it was sent to me by a former law enforcement officer. And, you know, he put out some stats. Well, it's actually in the article on where it talks about how many in 2021 has not. It's just 2021 has not started out on a positive note. There have been 11 law enforcement suicides and one firefighter suicide. 23 law enforcement officers have died in the line of duty, 9 of those being COVID-19 related, and 8 line of on-duty firefighter deaths. And we've been going through some very contentious times, and anger has found its way into our daily routines. So we're going to go over a blog that was put out on anger. It's from a blogger that puts it's titled Bulletproof First Responders. And so
but this applies also to anybody, Ruben. The yes. Stuff here is a lot of common sense stuff. Though it's directed to first responders, this makes sense to any one of us.
Absolutely. Yes, right.
Yeah, this blog's called Anger. He says, like happiness, sadness, anxiety, and disgust, anger is one of humanity's primary emotions. It is a normal, even healthy emotion, but left unchecked, it can be very destructive. According to Dr. Charles Spielberger, anger is an emotional state that varies in intensity from mild irritation to intense fury and rage. And like other basic emotions, angriness causes physiological and biological changes. Your adrenaline glands start producing hormones to help regulate your heart, your increasing heart rate, blood pressure, and to stabilize your metabolism. However, many psychologists believe anger has a practical use for survival. Anger has been thought to play an integral role in depression. And in fact, the author, Ruben, writes this from a Christian perspective because he quotes scripture.
Right.
There's one passage he quotes there, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27, where St. Paul writes, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And so there's such a thing that we call in the Catholic faith as righteous anger.
Absolutely.
Righteous anger. And in fact, we see that We see that, for example, James chapter 1, verse 19, he says that we should be slow to anger. In other words, using anger as a last resort. But we also know that God himself feels righteous anger. We see that in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11. And we see that also in our Lord Jesus Christ, when he goes into the temple and he turns the table over and the money changer. So we see examples in the Old and New Testament of righteous anger. But nonetheless, the Old Testament and New Testament, James 1:19, Psalm 145, verse 8, it says that God is slow to anger. And so if God is slow to anger, we should be slow to anger. But again, anger is not altogether a bad thing, as St. Paul says. You know, you could be angry. Just do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. That would be called like unrighteous anger, where you allow your emotions to be governed, you know, to be governed by your passions, and you start doing things that are irrational.
Right. Yeah, Jesse, the Oxford Language Dictionary defines anger as a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. And it's a primary emotion, and everybody experiences anger. I have, you have, you know. I know there are times out in the field as a deputy sheriff that I would be angry because of what someone intended to do to me, wanted to do to me, and it made it clear they want what they wanted to do to me. And or if somebody hurt my partner or attacked us in some way. I found myself angry at partners because, well, one in particular, because he was lazy. And I mean, I was carrying the load for this on this team. And I said, hey, man, you know, if it's too hot in the kitchen, get out. And I used it to I didn't get out of control, but I kept it in check. All I did was, but I voiced my displeasure, you know, because if I didn't, then it would be boiling up and that wouldn't be good either. But there's a PhD by the name of Roshana Chappell. She says that we're allowed to express anger because it's a natural emotion. She adds that anger is an indication of fear, frustration, or helplessness. Anger will become toxic and unhealthy when we bury it with other emotions. Some you've even heard stories of men in their rage and anger because a child's trapped under a car and they are able to move the car when then normally they would not be able to, and they muster up enough strength to get the job done, and that sometimes is out of anger for what's happening to the victim there.
That's right. Ruben, I'll tell you, but from a Catholic point of view, I know, I think a Protestant wrote this article, and it's well written. I agree with it. But from a Catholic point of view, again, the greatest theologian in the Catholic Church, St. Thomas Aquinas, he says that unless we are angry in the presence of injustice, then the injustice will all too often continue. So Thomas Aquinas talks about anger as a passion that moves your will to justice. So anger is a good thing if it moves you, if it arouses your will, which is, again, you know, that part of the soul, if it arouses your will to justice, to pursue justice.
Yeah.
So, again, anger is not bad in itself. It's how it's directed.
That's right. You know, when some people would say, The attack at the Capitol, they were angry. They were justified in being angry for the steal of the election, but they took it to an extreme, and they went in, and which they committed a crime going in. So that is an example of where it's not constructive. It's actually you know, become sinful. You know,
Ruben, and here's the genius of Catholicism is, again, because all of us have these emotions, or St. Thomas, Catholicism actually calls them passions or appetites. When you read any Catholic writer in the medieval times about emotions, they don't use the word emotions. That's more of a modern term. But but the fact is, emotions means what old time Catholicism calls passions or appetites. Same thing. Okay, they're all synonyms. Yeah. And so the great minds of the church, like, you know, Don Scotus, St. Thomas, St. Charles Borromeo, they say that since we all have emotions, I mean, the Catechism quotes 11 emotions that we all have, okay? It's in paragraph 1765 to 1772. We all have at least 11 emotions as human beings. We have to temper or regulate these emotions, and they could only be regulated through a life of prayer, a life of faith, a life of receiving the sacraments, and a life of fasting. If we do that, then our emotions, like anger, will be mastered or subordinated to right reason, and the right reason is according to the Word of God. This is the Catholic genius of the medieval minds. This is how you master your passions. But most people don't know this, Reuben, so they allow their passions to dictate their behavior. That's what makes us different from animals. Animals have passions. We have passions or emotions. Okay, it's a synonym. Mm-hmm. Animals can't master their emotions because they can't properly form their intellect. So that's what makes us different from animals. We can order and master our passions and emotions. Animals cannot.
That's right. Speaking of animals, I had to bring my, we just rescued a German Shepherd, and she's still not familiar with the, you know, with the house and the other dogs we have. So had to bring her in here. She's sitting right here next to me. So she's listening to the show.
She's gonna be a Catholic German Shepherd after the show.
That's right.
or living with you, she's already probably a Catholic German Shepherd now.
Right. Yeah. Who was it that I used to see a bumper sticker when Pope Benedict was the Pope, and it said my favorite
German
Shepherd is Benedict.
Yeah.
So.
Well, going back to the article on anger, anger has a bad reputation because it's often associated with aggression and violence. In fact, there's a book called Anger Management, the Complete Treatment Guide for Practice by Dr. Kasanov. He writes that anger seems to be followed by aggression only about 10% of the time, and lots of aggression occurs without any anger. He quotes Aristotle saying, "The angry man is aiming at what he can attain, and the belief that you will attain your aim is pleasant." That's what Aristotle says. Now, there's constructive anger. Being a valid emotion, anger does not always have to be negative and harmful. Depending on how it's handled, anger can be positive. Healthy anger is constructive anger, building up instead of tearing down. However, all anger is productive. It is a potent emotion that can be overwhelming, turning into destruction. Constructive anger protects things you value and builds self-respect. When anger starts to change from constructive to destructive, it's always best to become aware of the changing situation and admit that you're getting angrier and walk away. Mm-hmm. Constructive anger is learning to turn those negative feelings into positive emotions so you can continue to move forward and recover from what angered you. And I think this is a good advice for those of us that are married. And there's a proverb there that's quoted. It's the article is written by a Protestant, so it's from a Protestant Bible, the NAV. It says, "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel." That's good advice, especially for married people.
That's right. You know, you don't want to be getting this talk to the hand, you know.
That's right.
You just... Sometimes it could be frustrating when you're disagreeing as a married couple to want to finish the conversation right then and there. But sometimes cooler heads prevail if, you know, one is say, look, you know, I better just walk away because it's going to get worse if I stick around here and keep talking about this. So.
Right. Yep.
There's also destructive anger, Jesse. Destructive anger is unprocessed anger, common among those who suffer from post-traumatic stress, PTS. Destructive anger leads to aggression, isolation, substance abuse, and self-medication, depression, and suicide. So while in the short term, harmful anger releases tension, over the long run, it has negative consequences. Those suffering from PTS tend to suppress their emotions, and anger is among them. Unattended destructive anger will grow with an unhealthy and harmful outcome. You know, there's there was a study that was done saying that doctors think that 98% of all health problems could be could be controlled if they eliminated one thing. That one thing is stress. And that's that stress that causes a number of issues physiologically in the body. So anyway, we're going to come back, pick this up on the other side of the break, talking about anger, and see you on the other side.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We're talking about an article, a very well-written article, and it was written for first responders, and that's why I received it. But it applies to a lot of different people. It could apply to anybody.
If you got lungs and breath and a soul, that applies to you. Here's what the article also says, Ruben. It talks about, it quotes some scripture. It says, the Bible tells us a lot about anger. Uncontrolled anger is harmful. Quoting the Proverbs 29:22. Again, it was written by a Protestant, so he's got the Protestant Bible here. And I didn't bother to open up my... It says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Proverbs 29:22. Cain displayed an uncontrollable outrage when he killed his brother Abel. It says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and 8, it says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Close quote. That's a classic example of unjustifiable anger there.
Right. So at times, anger is justified. It talks about Nehemiah, who was angered when he found his fellow worshipers were being abused. And it's quoting Nehemiah 5:6. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. So even God shows anger. When the people of Israel started serving false gods, God became angry with them because they forsook him and served Baal and the Asherahs. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Judges 2, 13 and 14. And passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, Exodus 34, 6. And then the last verse it quotes is Isaiah 48, 9. For my own sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. Anyway,
we got three people in the room, by the way. Yeah. Tell the audience, Ruben.
Yeah, you know, I got a rescued German Shepherd. We just got her. I've never heard her bark. Come here. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, Jess. Next, pick up where it says Ed.
And where it says, anger. Controlling anger can be challenging. However, it can be done. First, you must realize the dangers of uncontrolled anger, with some believing anger is a sign of power and strength. However, a person with unchecked anger has serious shortcomings. Real strength comes from the ability to control your anger. By the way, just like our Lord Jesus Christ did, he's a perfect example of somebody who's had his anger, righteous anger, subordinated to right reason. So when anger is beginning to build, think before you speak, especially those of you that are married. Words are easy to say, but they're hard to take back. By collecting your thoughts, you're less prone to saying something you will regret later, and you are slowing down the conversation. Listen carefully to all sides by getting the facts, and you'll be less inclined to experience uncontrolled anger. Once calm, express your anger in a non-antagonistic manner. Be firm, stating your position clearly and directly without being condescending. I have to work on that. That's no, seriously, that's, boy, I just got convicted there. Use laughter as the best medicine. Humor tends to tighten up tense situations. However, do not be sarcastic. Finally, pray daily to strengthen your relationship with God to bring you peace and comfort. As St. Paul says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And finally, as first responders, you all took an oath to protect right and fight evil, and many have lost track of those priorities and have put the job first. So if you're a first responder and you're experiencing a lower and unusual sense of self-worth, depression, or misplaced guilt, or an inability to remember or talk about trauma specifically, or you're feeling numb emotionally, or disassociation, you're not aware of the present moment, or a feeling of disconnection from your everyday life, or feeling hyper-aroused and vigilant for danger all the time, or lashing out in irritability or unexplained anger, or feeling jittery or unable to concentrate on task at hand, or other anxiety disorders such as panic or intense distress, talk to someone and get help. Get back to the basics. Put God first, family second, and the job further down in the order. Ruben?
That's great advice, Jesse. And as I quoted the stats on the suicide rate, it's going through the roof, especially of all that these guys have been going through for with the COVID and the rioting and all the...
The defunding police.
That's exactly what I was going to say. All the anger, addressed to them, all the hatred and the vitriol that has been fermenting from the left. And so it's got to take a toll on these guys, you know, And we know that, like you said, this is good. This applies to everybody, but some of those professions that are right in the front lines. I mean, the doctors, the nurses, the stress that's going on in their lives, having to deal with all these sick people that are coming in. So,
that's right. And here's one word of wisdom that I was told a long time ago by a wise Catholic. He told me, Jess, he who angers you controls your mind and rents free space in your mind. Think about that. Whoever angers you, they're controlling your mind and they're renting free space in your mind. Don't let anybody rent space in your mind other than the Lord Jesus Christ and our Queen Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Amen. That's good advice.
Well, let's move on, Ruben, to burnout, exhaustion, and fatigue. This is another...
Another bulletproof first responder article.
Yep.
It's a blogger. His name is Danny Kuhn. I don't know him, but he writes well. And like you said, he's a Christian.
Yeah, he's a Protestant brother. He's a fellow traveler, and he's a man of goodwill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Risking their lives daily, first responders must respond to traumatic incidents with care, good judgment, and professionalism. Being unpredictable and loaded with stress, first responders must have the emotional stability to multitask while maintaining control in the face of physical threats. The difficulty of their job requires them to exercise considerable skill, make delicate decisions with fateful consequences, and solve a wide range of interpersonal problems with no hard and fast criteria about the correctness or incorrectness of solutions. They must therefore live with doubts and uncertainty about some of what they have done, which can make them question their own adequacy or competence and undermine their self-esteem. And it quotes John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And, Jesse, coming into work, once I had my reversion back to the faith, I made it a point to be praying on my way to work. And I believe you did the same thing, to just prepare myself physically, emotionally, and spiritually, to be ready to take on whatever problems come my way, and ask for the Lord's protection and protection of Saint Michael and Our Lady, and some people don't have that that faith to fall back on, and it could be challenging, obviously.
And a lot of them, Ruben, that you and me have worked with them. A lot of them are statistics right now of a lot of what Danny Kuhn's writing about. I mean, a lot of them have had personal tragedies. They've made a shipwreck of their life, they've made a shipwreck of their faith, of their family, of their personal health, of their mental, you know, faculties. When you try to do any job as a first responder apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking his protection, it's too hard. It's humanly impossible to be a first responder and do it on your own human strength. You're gonna hit what this article says, physical exhaustion. You're gonna be emotionally drained. You're gonna lose motivation. You're gonna have prolonged stress. You're gonna be frustrated.
Yep.
You're gonna have extreme physical and mental fatigue. I mean, you'll even have all those things as a person of faith, but you know that you're not alone. You know that Jesus Christ is always there and you can rely on him and Our Lady, your guardian angel. And so the action of I think doing this type of work apart from a faith component, for me, that's a recipe for personal disaster.
Right. Yeah. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines burnout as exhaustion of physical or emotional strength or motivation, usually as a result of prolonged stress or frustration. Oxford Languages Dictionary defines exhaustion as a state of extreme physical or mental fatigue, the action or state of being, action or state of using something up or of being used up completely, and fatigue as extreme tiredness resulting from mental or physical exertion or illness. So all those things, burnout, exhaustion, and the last one was fatigue. So those three things. It was coined in 1974 by Dr. Herbert Grundberger. He described burnout as a result of severe stress and high aspirations of emergency responders. Burnout and exhaustion are not exclusive to the first responder community. Anyone under a great deal of stress or living a stressful lifestyle is susceptible to burnout, fatigue, and exhaustion. More simply put, if you feel exhausted, start to hate your job, and begin to feel less capable at work, you're showing signs of burnout. And burnout was recognized by the World Health Organization in 2019 as a health concern. It can be described as physical and mental fatigue brought about by exhausted capacity to adapt to daily activities. Nearly 70% of first responders report not having sufficient opportunity to recuperate from the trauma they experience, and 7% suffer from depression.
So, you're listening to Jesus 911. By the way, if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. Remember, the month of February is devoted to the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Meditate upon the passion every single day with the rosary in your hand. Jesus 911. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. Today we are a canine unit.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. We got a faithful companion, man's best friend. These dogs are just amazing dogs, smart, and all they just want to do is protect us.
Oftentimes more loyal than human beings.
Oh, big time. You know, you have a tough day. Speaking of this, you know, I've had days where it's just been, man, you think that it couldn't get any worse. You come back home and your dog is there to just lick you and jump all over you and just, you know, helps you forget about the outside world for a bit. So,
Ruben, that's why, I mean, there's the proverbial phrase, dogs are man's best friend.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, the love, unconditional love is what they give you. You know?
Yeah. 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 That's a perfect way of putting it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't care if you're, exactly. Uh-huh. They don't care if you're a jerk. They don't care if, exactly. They just love their master.
Mm-hmm.
Well, going back to the article, it says written by Danny Kuhn, it's for first responders, but it applies to everybody. It reminds us that we want to make sure that we check our emotions and passions and make sure that we subordinate them to right reason based on the Word of God. That's what we have to form our intellect. We have to form our Catholic faith. It says the stressors of a job or workplace may affect a person's life in a variety of ways. several possible physiological and psychological symptoms may develop, affecting their overall quality of life. Common signs of burnout in the workplace include, number one, anxiety, two, headaches, three, lack of sleep, four, fatigue, five, an increasingly cynical outlook on life and work.
Wow, I've seen that. I've seen that at work.
Over and over again.
People that, you know, they just become like cynical. They think that, you know, everybody out there
is evil.
Is bad. Yeah, I was going to say that. But, you know, it's easy to get jaded, you know, when all you're seeing are the worst of the worst. And that's why I tell all my young deputies that I mentor, you got to have friendships and relationships outside of law enforcement. It's not healthy just to have them as your friends, because you need a different perspective. You need to have, you know, hear from other people that aren't doing what you're doing. So
and you realize that everybody out there is not bad. They're not evil.
I was going to mention, because, you know, some of the nurses, I have nurses in my family, and they're dealing with this COVID stuff on a daily basis. So they are very cautious about, you know, wearing the mask and staying away from large crowds, and more so than the average person, because they see it so much. And you can't blame them. And it's just like all the stuff that I used to see coming on my way from Mexico, all the cartel stuff. And I was involved. I had working for a DEA task force. So I used to get all this information, and I won't go to Mexico now because of all the stuff that I've seen. I will not set foot in there. So because I saw stuff that no one will see, you know, the real gruesome stuff. And a lot of it never makes the news. And so same thing with these people, the nurses that are and doctors that are seeing this, you know, the COVID stuff, you know.
Ruben, speaking of the COVID stuff, somebody just sent me an article from LifeSite News. It says at least 273 deaths and 9,845 adverse events in the United States after COVID vaccinations so far. So this is as of this morning, 273 deaths right after the vaccination.
Hey, speaking of that, my wife, Sergeant Grayson Klein, a fellow Catholic, his father passed away yesterday. May he rest in peace. He went in, got on a ventilator, and 6 hours later he succumbed to it. So he didn't get in early enough to get the medication. And so, you know, if we could just say, let me say a Hail Mary for him. And also my former secretary, who also passed away from, she was a sheriff's department employee from COVID. Let's say the Ave. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen.
Amen. Nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen. Ruben, the article continues by saying medical professionals may diagnose physiological reactions and injuries, but the best treatment is not just physical and mental, it's also spiritual. You need to be on a solid foundation with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
You need to heal by the Word of God.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that God, our Creator, is the ultimate healer. In his darkest nights, King David wrote, Psalm 109:21, he said, "But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me." Close quote. So if you're experiencing burnout, depression, exhaustion, fatigue, or post-traumatic stress, and you need help, if you're in the darkness, if you're in battle with evil, if you're in a fight for your soul, spiritual healing is as close as your agency's chaplain. And for Catholics, obviously, I would divert you to a Catholic priest or a deacon. However, if you're untrusting of your agency's help, there's other organizations. Protestants have their organizations, and Catholics have their organizations. And also for veterans, they also have organizations to help them. And let's remember, St. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, he says, Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Close quote. Let's not forget that God has actually given us medication within the brain. It's called dopamine and serotonin. So when a person prays, and brain surgeons have documented this, that when a person prays for a sustained time of about 15 minutes, at about the 15-minute mark, the neurotransmitters in the brain start releasing serotonin and dopamine after 15 minutes of prayer. And these are these chemicals that God has put in the brain that help you fight off depression, stress, and anxiety. And these are also the chemicals in the brain that give you that feeling. You know, people use that word wellness.
Yeah.
Well, this gives you that natural feeling of wellness, of joy, of a zest for life. And it's in the brain and it's released by prayer. You think God did that by accident? I don't think so.
You know, just think about, we should live our lives with an attitude of gratitude. You know, things you think you have it so bad. And then, you know, we've got people in third world countries that are just, they have a minuscule of what you have, and but their problems are probably even greater with the, you know, certain parts of the country or the world where they're, you know, there's wars and natural disasters, and we actually have it pretty good here, and so sometimes we can lose sight of that. And the last thing you want to do is turn to the bottle or some type of chemical, because that's not going to help the situation at all. It just masks it, and then you know, eventually you become dependent on it, and that's not a good thing. I know that when we were serving a ton of warrants, you know, it was easy to feel that burnout that they're talking about here, because we were going day in and day out. I mean, our team had written them, then we'd help other teams, and it was just nonstop. I remember for 2 weeks we were just going nonstop, and you have to be on your A game, because you can't give in to anything. So you have to be at peak mental capacity. Otherwise, you know, you could miss something in a search, or, you know, you're losing focus on your tactics. And so it's great to be able to have the faith. And I thank God that as a first responder, I had the Lord by my side, and I knew who to call, who to rely on. Because I don't know how I couldn't have done the job I did without my faith. And I say that to all you first responders that are listening to the show. If you're listening, I'm sure that you've already plugged in, but keep that faith going. Keep your prayer life, that communication with God on a daily basis, on a, you know, minute to minute basis, you know?
Ruben, you know, there's also studies that are done and these are like academic studies by secular universities, that people who attend church every 7 days, you know, once a week, mm-hmm. like it's called for in the third commandment, they suffer from less depression than non-church goers. So it's already a clinically, scientifically established fact that a man who goes to church every 7 days versus one who doesn't suffers from less depression and less anxiety. And another thing that I would just recommend is that make sure that before you go to bed at night, you spend some time in some night prayer. When you spend time in night prayer, put your life and your family's life, your marriage, your kids in the hands of God, in the hands of Our Lady, it helps you sleep so good. It gives you such a peaceful rest, and it brings serenity of conscience and peace of soul. So again, as Catholics, don't go to sleep without spending, I mean, several minutes sustained prayer before you go to bed, because this helps you, again, reach that serenity of conscience and peace of mind and that prayerful, peaceful rest at night before you end the day.
Amen. And I don't know if you gave this this website, but it's First Responders Reboot Recovery. It's www.rebootrecovery.com. And there's a Mighty Oaks Warrior program. They're both of them are free to veterans and first responders. www.mightyoaksprograms.org. Both of those, if you're experiencing any of these things we talked about today, it's left. There's a quote here by Martin Luther King Jr. who says, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy."
And for you Catholic men, I would recommend that you connect with your nearest parish or diocese. There's ACTS, Cursillo, Catholic Men's Fellowship, the Brotherhood of St. Dismas, St. Michael's Shield. There's so many men's groups out there for you to connect with. And remember, iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Ruben, take it away.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, hit the like button and share it. And, tell others about it. You know, everybody brings one more person on board, you know, to help you build your faith up. And stay tuned for some hands-on apologetics. Jerry Mishuda from the Midwest Command Center. Remember to pray your rosary and meditate on the passion of our Lord.